Thank you, and thank you for being here tonight. Now go ahead, if you got your Bibles there, and turn to Psalm 96. Psalm 96, we're going to work our way through that passage tonight. It might be a familiar passage to some of you. We're going to just spend some time just working through what is being talked about here. I enjoyed this morning's sermon. I hope you did. That spoke to my heart. I appreciate Pastor Hernan's time studying for that and just coming to that with a tender heart, with a soft heart. I think that often that topic of our true delight is one that perhaps we don't understand or we don't recognize deeply enough. Perhaps that is one that if we did pay more attention to it, as believers, as a church, we'd be more focused and more effective. And I can't help but wonder as we start tonight to talk about missions, if our delight was in the right place, was in the Lord, if more of us wouldn't go. Whether it's to go locally or whether it's to go to a foreign field, I can't help but wonder if perhaps we have some misplaced delight. Tonight, as we look at Psalm 96, hopefully this will be a little bit of a reordering of our heart. Pastor's second point this morning, delight in God isn't the control of life, it's the reordering of the heart. And missions isn't about controlling us as believers. It's about our heart focusing on what God would have us focus on. So go ahead and turn with me tonight to Psalm chapter 96. And as I said, we're just going to work through this tonight. Psalm 96, verse 1, you'll notice I haven't put it up here. And I've done that deliberately because I want you to get into your Bible tonight, underline something, take some notes, and really focus on your Bible tonight. Psalm 96, verse 1. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord, all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless His name. Show forth His salvation from day to day. Declare His glory among the heathen, His wonders among all people. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. Perhaps like me, you are a little bit of a nearsighted Christian. Perhaps like me, you can see what's happening around you in the immediate space that you're in, and perhaps you're engaged in serving within the context of our church, and perhaps you're involved in our Saturday outreaches. Perhaps you're involved in those things, but when it comes to global missions, trying to keep your eyes on something that seems so distant is difficult. You know that God has called the church to make disciples of all nations. We know that, but we have trouble connecting our daily lives to something that's so far removed. We're bombarded by seemingly endless lists of things to do, of priorities, of importance, of concerns. Some of those things are good things, but often they push our convictions, they push our sensitivity, they push our yielding to the call to foreign missions to the back of our minds, to the periphery of our thoughts. Know that the church, by the very nature of its purpose, is to be attentive to advancing the gospel both near and far. Right? We see that in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Thank God, somebody reached the uttermost parts of the earth, because Australia is a long way from where this was written. In Matthew 28:18-20, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. We know those verses. Here's the thing, God's focus hasn't changed. God's desire for all the world to be saved hasn't changed. So how do we stay excited? How do we stay convicted? How do we stay sensitive to that call to go to all the peoples? How do we keep the need for the gospel to reach the uttermost parts of the earth before our church, before our families, before our own hearts? How do we keep that? Last week I had the opportunity to spend 4 or 5 days in PNG, and God just blessed that time for me. I showed up on the Thursday, and on Friday morning a young man flew in from America. He's just graduated high school and he's gone into Bible school there in the States, and he feels that God has called him to a foreign mission field. And he packed up and he said, I'm going to go to PNG and I'm going to spend 6 weeks there because I want to know what this is about. I want to know what it's like. I want God to work on my heart. It was a blessing to see that young man in the beginning of what God's called him to do. Later on that same day, on Friday, I had the privilege of being part of an ordination council for a man who has been called by God because missionaries came and spent time teaching him the gospel. The next day, on Saturday, I got to go to a graduation. 4 Bible school students graduated from Bible school, taught by a missionary. And all 4 of those Bible school students are going to go on in ministry and go on to the mission field because somebody went. On Sunday, I got to preach, and then I got to be part of an ordination of a man who's now a pastor in a local church because a missionary came. The gospel is going forward because somebody went. Somebody stepped outside of their comfort zones. Somebody yielded to the call. On Sunday, I got to go out with a young man who got saved in a youth ministry, who's now gone through university and holds a very senior job as an accountant in a large global company, KPMG. And every Sunday, this young man, this young Papua New Guinean man, gives up his time to go to the local tip and preach the gospel every single Sunday. I sat there and watched him, and I'll be honest with you, the whole time, because of the smell, I was trying not to throw up. There were dogs everywhere, and they all wanted to come and lick me. Flies by the millions. But this young man, who could be out doing something else, yielded to the call of God on his life and was preaching the gospel to people that needed it. To be honest, I can't help but wonder where we're at. Why are so few going from our churches here in Australia? Perhaps it's because we've lost focus. Perhaps it's because, as Pastor preached this morning, we need our hearts to be realigned because we're delighting in something else. Psalm 96 is a powerful, God-focused, globally focused call to worship that connects our praise to our global reach. True worship compels the church. It compels us as believers to action. True worship compels us to action. But we must first behold God's glory so we can effectively declare it to the world. We sing these songs, and they're beautiful songs, but does it stir our hearts? Does that stir our hearts to behold God's glory? And does it stir our hearts to get out of our seats, out of our comfort zones, out of our warm houses, and go to where the gospel has not gone? Or is it just another Sunday with some beautiful singing? And we go home, and we wonder, what am I supposed to do? Our mission as believers is to make God real and make God big. A missionary told me that he's 76 years old. He spent most of his young life, he came from Vietnam as a soldier, came back to America, and everybody in America hated Vietnam soldiers. So he spent 10 years with a donkey and cart walking around America before he got saved. And then he stepped into pastoring for year after year after year. He pastored. And when he was in his 70s, he felt God calling him to go to the mission field, to one of the most difficult places in PNG that I've ever been to. And he'd come and he'd have dinner with Sarah and I, and he and his wife would spend time with us. And one morning, I sat down with him and I said, Will, what's your goal? What's your purpose? What are you as a missionary? What is your desire? And he said that to me. My job is very simple, Phil, to make God known and to make God bigger. To make God known and make God bigger. This morning, or this evening actually, we're going to look at just three things: our mission, our motivation, and our message. We're going to see them all here in Psalm 96. So let's look at our mission first. 96, verses 1 through 3. We read this just a second ago. Our mission is to declare His glory. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord, all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless His name. Show forth His salvation from day to day. Declare His glory among who? Among who? Among the heathen. Hey, more than often we're happy to declare His glory in a space like this with other believers, but how often are we willing to go and declare His glory outside of these walls? Our mission as believers is to make God known and to magnify God, to make God big. That's the mandate of the church, but it's also the mission of every single believer. Your job is to make God known and to magnify God. But the aim of the gospel is more than just individual salvation. I hope we understand that tonight. The aim of the gospel is more than just individual salvation. It's revelation, it's exaltation, and it is the display of God's glory. Salvation is about God. It is not about us. We get that backwards. But salvation is all about the glory of God. Verse 1 there, I'll sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord, all the earth. Sing a new song. Worship that fuels missions within our hearts isn't stale, it isn't routine. It's a new song. It's a song that is fresh. It's a song that is joyful. It is a song that comes out of a response to the work that God is doing in my life, in our hearts. It's a song that comes out of us seeing God's grace and God's glory working in and through us. True worship, God-honoring worship, compels us to action. Do you believe that? Does your worshiping compel you to action? If it doesn't, we need to have a look at our hearts. It says that all the earth, God's design and God's desire is that all the earth would glorify Him. That all the earth would glorify Him. So if that's not happening, which we know it's not, if that's not happening, what are you and I, what are we at Good Shepherd doing about it? If all the earth is not glorifying God, what are we doing? In your home, your family, there are issues. You do something about it. In your business, if you're not making money, you cut. You do drastic things to pull your business into line and to make sure your business does what it is meant to do, right? As believers, we're meant to glorify God and we're meant to point others to how they can glorify God. And if that's not happening, what do we need to do? What steps do we need to take? What are we doing to meet the desires of God's heart? That all the earth would sing a new song, that all the earth would sing of His glory. What are we doing to achieve that? Look at verse 2. Show forth His salvation from day to day, witnessing, testifying to God's work in our lives as not an occasional task, but a daily rhythm. Right? Show forth His salvation from day to day. The rhythm of my life, day to day, should show, should point, should magnify what God has done in my life. Should be my daily rhythm. My prayer life should be, God, help me to be a testimony to Your glory today. God, bring someone across my path today that I can witness to so that You can be magnified. Here am I, Lord, send me. We just sang that song. Can I ask you, when was the last time you prayed, God, for Your glory, I'm willing to go. God, where would You have me go? Friends, are we so comfortable in our homes, in our lives, in our jobs, in our hobbies that perhaps we assume we know the answer already? I prayed when I was a kid. I prayed when I was a young person. I prayed after conference, and God didn't give me any clarity on that, so I stopped praying. Don't stop praying. Don't stop praying. Hear my Lord, use me today. Hear my Lord, what would You have me do? Where would You have me go? Three of the most effective missionaries I know were called late in life. Many people would have said, hey, you could just retire. You should be finished now. It's too dangerous for you to go. You're too old. There's no hospitals there that can look after you. They went because God called them. When did we stop praying? When did we stop asking God, God, what would You have me do? God, should I go? When did we stop praying that? Perhaps in our fear, we prayed it when we were young and we said, God, I'm willing to do whatever, but there wasn't clarity. And now we've gone, okay, that's the answer. One off. Thank You, Lord, for answering that when I was 15 years old. Now that I'm 35, 45, 55, 65, 70 years old, I don't have to worry about it anymore because God answered me when I was 15. We should be praying that all the time. God, what would You have me do? God, would You send me? Hear my Lord. Hear my Lord. Perhaps you had a season where that was happening, but you got distracted. You lost your focus. Can I challenge you? God's desire is still that all the world would know, and his desire is still that you would tell. We're challenged here to actively show forth his salvation from day to day, the way that we live our lives. Look with me at verse 3. Declare his glory among the heathen, his wonders among all people. Declare his glory. The ultimate aim of missions isn't just saving souls, it's glorifying God. It's glorifying God. The mission of the church is to declare his glory among the nations. Your mission as a believer is to declare his glory among the nations. We should be asking ourselves the questions. The question should be on our lips. It should be on our hearts. How do I do that? How do I declare his glory? Let me give you a start point. We start by reflecting on the glory of God. Hey, I have to have that as part of my life before I can point somebody else to that. We'll never be concerned with God's desire for global missions if we aren't first concerned with God's glory. I'm not going to be concerned about reaching the lost if I am not first concerned with God's glory. Right thinking about missions begins with right thinking about God. Right thinking about missions begins with right thinking about God. Believers don't ultimately become missions focused because we watch the news. We don't ultimately become missions focused because we went to Guzman Gomez 15 times, right? We become missions focused because desire for the glory of God to be seen in our lives. We become missions focused when we first are God focused. He's the one who deserves and then rightly demands worldwide worship. Do you desire to reflect God's glory? Is that your desire? Then we need to be willing to go. The psalmist challenges those who believe in God, declare his glory among the heathen, his wonders among all people. God displays his own glory through his grace, through his mercy, through his love, and by bringing together a church of people from all over the globe to glorify him. That should be our motivation, too. Second point tonight, our motivation, we'll see it in verses 4 through 9, for he is great. Our motivation is for he is great. Look at verse 4. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Give unto the Lord, O ye kindred of people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. O worship the Lord in beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth. Our motivation for going, God's greatness. For the Lord is great. The mission is driven by that truth. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He's the only God who reigns supreme. Right thinking about missions begins with right thinking about God. He is to be feared. He is to be revered. He is to be adored. He is to be exalted. He should be the thing that captivates our awe. That's our motivation. Because I love God. Because God is great, I'm willing to go. God is great and God is to be exalted above all else in my life. And our desire should be that for others as well. So that they can see that God is great. And that God is gracious. And that God is glorious. And that God is merciful. And that God is love. Look at verse 5, our motivation for all the gods of all the nations are idols. We should see the loss, we should see the fear, we should see the shortcomings because they do not have God and that should motivate us. Satan desires to impact the world's our thinking. He knows that if he can decrease our wonder, our awe, our reverence for God, if God is no longer great in our eyes, the next step is something else is great. Something else grabs our awe, our attention. The world is full of lifeless idols that demand attention. Demand loyalty. Our motivation should be to point them to Christ. To help people understand that He is the one that changes lives. But if you don't go, how will they know? 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine into them. How will the nations hear? How will the lost hear if we're not telling? If it says, as it says there in verse 3, declare his glory among the heathen, his wonders among all people, for the Lord is great. And greatly will be to be praised. How will they know if we don't tell them? The world makes light of culture. The world says it's just the way they do things, the way they've done things for generations. They've always done it that way. That's how they've lived forever. They're worshiping of that sun god or that rain god or that idol. That's just how they do it. And what right do you have to go in and tell them that's wrong? Let me tell you right now, that's Satan. And we should be burdened, we should be challenged to action when we see that. When we who have the light should take the light so that they can see. Our motivation in verses 6 through 9, our motivation is to showcase the beauty of God's majesty. Our motivation is to showcase the beauty of God's majesty. We're to shine a light for the nations to see the beauty and the strength of God. The world lives in perpetual state of fear. Do you know that? That unsaved people live in a perpetual state of fear. And yet we have the answer to that fear. I don't know if you've ever been to another country. I don't know if you've ever had the opportunity to talk to somebody who's saved in a country that is steeped in idolatry. But as I've talked to young people and to older people and to people that have been saved in those settings, so often the biggest thing that they say is, I'm not afraid anymore. Because I know where my eternity is. You have the answer. Will you take it? You have the answer to their fear. Will you take that answer? Our motivation in verse 7 is to ascribe glory to God. Give unto the Lord, all ye kindred of people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord glory due unto His name. Bring an offering and come unto His courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before Him all the earth. A lost world consumed by fear is reached by you going, by you giving, by your continual surrender to the call of God on your life. But we've stopped asking. God's glory should motivate us to go. Nothing glorifies God as much as our obedience. Let's look at the third one. Our mission is to bring glory to God. And we're motivated by the glory of God. And here's the third one, our message. Our message. 96 verse 10. Saying among the heathen that the Lord reigneth, the world also shall be established, and it shall not be moved. He shall judge the people righteously. Let the heavens rejoice, and let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar, and the fullness thereof. Let the field be joyful, and all that is therein. Then shall the trees of the wood rejoice before the Lord, for He cometh. For He cometh to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness, and the people with His truth. What's our message? Verse 10. Say among the heathen, that's all the nations, say among the heathen that the Lord reigneth. That the Lord reigneth. God's designed means by which the gospel goes out is by us telling it. It's by word of mouth. Lifestyle is important. Philippians talks about your conversation, the way that you live. Lifestyle is important. Actions are important. Songs are important. Books are important. But God chose human speech as a primary vehicle by which the gospel is presented. All of those things, when used in a God-honoring manner, should bring a person to a point of asking the question, what must I do to be saved? As Paul puts it in Romans 10, verse 14, how then shall they call on Him in whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe in Him in whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? How are they going to hear if we don't go? If you don't go? The word called upon there, or epikaleo, is used in both the Greek and the Hebrew. It's a Hebraistic word. It's a word that goes across both languages. The literal meaning is to adore, to worship the name of the Lord. We see it in both the Old Testament and the New Testament. In Genesis 4:26, and to Seth, to him also was born a son, and he called his name Enos, and began men to call upon the name of the Lord. They began to worship, they began to adore the name of the Lord. In Acts 21:1, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon, epikaleo, worship, adore, the name of the Lord shall be saved. How will the nations adore and worship God if we don't go? If we don't tell, they can't. What do we tell? Firstly, the Lord reigns. The Lord reigns. In verse 11, it tells us that all creation points to God's glory. The question is, do we? Are we? Look at verse 11. Let the heavens rejoice and let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar and the fullness thereof. Let the field be joyful and all that is therein. Then shall the trees of the wood rejoice. Creation rejoices. Creation glorifies God. But do we? Are we? We are to declare to the nations that God reigns, and we're to point to His glory. Verse 13, before the Lord, for He cometh in judgment to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the people with His truth. And the culmination of all history is the return of Christ. He will judge the world in righteousness. Hey, Jesus is coming back. And millions who have not heard are going to hell. They don't know. Friend, you have the truth. Will you tell them? Good Shepherd, we have the truth. Will we send someone? Will you go and tell the lost of their need for a Savior? Will you tell the world of the glory of God? Will you shine the light to a world that's consumed by darkness? Friend, will you put God's glory first in your life? Sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless His name. Show forth His salvation from day to day. Declare His glory among the heathen, His wonders among all people. Friends, true worship compels us to action. What action are you taking? Can I ask you to write down three questions for me tonight? Go ahead and grab a piece of paper in front of your Bible, whatever you want, three questions. I want you to write them down. I want you to think on these as you do your devotions. I want you to think on these three questions. And you answer them yourself. Maybe talk to them about them to somebody, but I want you to pray about and answer these questions. Here's the first one for you. What am I doing to advance the gospel for God's glory today? What am I doing to advance the gospel for God's glory today? We should be able to answer that question. Here's the second one. Am I honestly seeking God's will and God's glory in my life today? Friend, are you honestly seeking God's glory and God's will for your life today? Here's the last question. What is my excuse for not going? What is my excuse for not going? Can I ask you to be prayerful about those questions? Can I ask you to be prayerful about what God is calling you to do? And maybe He closed the door at one point in your life. You know, I started praying about missions and ministry when I was about 17 years old. And I felt God was calling me to go to Bible school and to spend time studying and to walk in that direction. I got married. I came out of Bible school. I got married and we came back to Australia and I wasn't ready. And God said, wait. And it took a long time, many, many years. But God in His faithfulness continued to grow me and mature me. And all that time, I'm thinking, God, You're wasting time. God, I'm ready to go. I'm willing to go. I want to do it, God. And got to a point in my life where I went, you know what? God's not going to answer that. He's not sending me. But eventually I had to come back and realize that my delight was in me. It was in what I wanted to do and not in the Lord. And it wasn't until I realized that I had misplaced delight, misplaced focus, that God started to put things in place to where I could be here. I'm 50 years old, and I'm exactly where I want to be. I'm exactly where God has called me to be, and there is no better place for me. And friend, there is no better place for you than being exactly where God wants you to be. And it doesn't matter how old you are. Keep asking the question, God, what would you have me to go do? God, where would you have me to go? Would you honestly, would you sincerely, would you humbly pray? Here am I, Lord, send me. Our mission is to declare His glory. Our motivation is because He is great. Our message, our God reigns. Friend, will you go? Will you take the gospel to people that are lost? Will you go? Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you tonight. Father, I realize in my own life that I so often get distracted. I so often get pulled aside by, Father, things that I like, things that I'm passionate about, things that stand out to me. Father, I delight in things that, Father, are not you. Father, every aspect of my being should point to your glory. And yet so often it doesn't. So, Father, would you do a work in me, in my heart, in my life? Father, would you grow me and mature me, convict me? Father, make me sensitive to what you desire for me to do. Father, would you revive us as a church? Would you bring about a revival in this church today? And Father, as a result of that, our country is impacted and then the world is impacted. Father, would you start in just one heart tonight? Father, make it clear. Father, our prayer should be, here am I, send me. Father, we love you. You deserve all the glory and all the honor. In your name, amen.